This is New Year's Day, January 1st, 1962. And this is the Pioneer Vision Chicken Vision Committee. Andy Lincoln, Chairman.
We're out there visiting some old timers, and they're nice and cozy here.
Jim, put the names on them.
Sing and sweet.
Yeah, come on, sing and sweet.
And Ted Loft has come with us today, and he brought out the Christmas checks from the Pioneers.
Well, we just came out to give him a little Christmas cheer because we couldn't get out sooner. It's too damn cold for some of us fellas. Mm-hmm.
How you been behaving?
Well, fine, thank you. Everything nice. Christmas? Everything
well,
good.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, brother. I'll visit for brother.
They got a lot of fuel, and I found them cutting wood like they did 40 years ago when we got out here.
We saw the wood from there.
This is Harry Hughes recording for Igloo 4.
Yep, you are.
Alex and Mr. Olson here send their greetings and their thanks to the Pioneers. And we hope they can come into some meetings pretty soon. You think you're going to be able to get in town to some of the meetings?
Yes, sir. We'll be meeting.
The first one now is on the 8th of January, next Monday, a week from today.
Well, we'll be there.
Alex, yeah. And also you, Olson, will you be coming in?
Yeah, I'll be in there.
Can you spin me a little yarn, Olson?
No.
Tell me why you was out here cutting wood.
Well, you know, we got to have a little exercise. So I was out on the sawhorse and saw some wood. I was going to go out and get the moose.
Where was you last week when it got 60 below out here?
Out on the sawhorse. It was 60 below. It's kind of cold, you know, my feet get cold. So I had to come in. I stayed out about 10 minutes and I went in the cabin for about half an hour. Keep them going, you know, that way. And we have to have a little song once in a while, you know.
Can you play any music?
No.
No? Not even a saw? I heard you could play a saw.
I could play a saw.
You was going to tell me about some of your...
I did that last year.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But do you think of some new ones?
No.
No?
I can't have some new ones.
Okay, I'll let you hear this then.
Some of it may never come back.
We're going to get ready to leave after a little visit here with Olson and Alex. And well, you got any more to say, Alex?
Well, thank you, brother. We see again meeting.
And he's coming to the meeting.
Yes. I wish you a happy new year, everybody.
This is Mr. Olson. Okay. Well, Andy and Ted and I are going to start out for another visit.
Tell hello to all our brothers. Tell hello.
Alex says hello to all the brothers.
Merry Christmas and a happy new year, boy. Everybody. And thank you for a Christmas present. Thank you, Milan Tam.
January 1st, New Year's Day, and this is Pioneer's Chicken Visiting Committee visiting an Eskimo family out here in the new part of Fairbanks. It's Frank Young and Andy Wicken and Harry Hughes. What is your name?
Reuben Tusak from Point Barrow.
What's the baby's name?
I don't know. I forgot his name.
Stephen Lee.
Stephen Lee? And what is your name, son?
Joe.
And the old... What's his name? You give me his name.
My uncle.
Hoodahoe.
Hoodahoe? Uh-huh. And he's from where?
Beaver.
Beaver. And the lady?
Cora Chuck.
Cora?
Right. Yeah.
And you're from Beaver too?
No. Wainwright. Long
Wainwright,
time.
Wainwright, huh?
He just here.
And you're from where?
Barrow.
Point Barrow.
Come to Chuck. From Colville, most.
From Colville.
All right, now this boy here is going to give us a little music and sing a little song for us.
Baseball game there.
He could win this one. January 1st, 1962 at Fairbanks, Alaska, and this was a visit by the Pioneers Igloo Forest Visiting Committee, Andy Wicken, Ted Loftus, and Harry Hugh, or Frank Young to a native Alaska village here in Fairbanks.
This is January 24th, 1962. This afternoon, Harry Hughes and Bobby Sheldon made a tape recording or a dictograph recording for Bob Groff and Al Paulette at the First National Bank of early Skagway describing the clothing and some of the history and stories to get information to produce a play for the Ice Carnival and Golden Days, 1962, here in Fairbanks. We spent about 2 hours up there recording today. This was January 24th, 1962, at Fairbanks, Alaska. This memorandum from Harry Hughes.
January 25th, 1962, and we're in the home of Ed Farrell at 511 7th Street in Fairbanks, Alaska.
Ed Farrell is an old pioneer here from early days and a member of Igloo 4. And he was elected King Regent for 1962 for the Icecon Wing Golden Days here at Fairbanks.
Now, Ed, I want to ask you to give your full name on there first.
Huh?
Just stop right into it.
Edward R. Farrell.
Mm-hmm. Where were you born, Ed?
I was born in Minnesota, in a small town in Minnesota.
You went to school there?
No, I didn't. We left there when I was just a baby and we came out to North Dakota.
Did you have brothers and sisters?
Yes, I had.
Do you remember their names?
Yes, I do.
Put them on the tape.
Well, the oldest was John, and the next was Mary. She's still alive. John is dead, been dead several years. And Mary is still alive. She lives in California. Well, then we had a sister that died. Her name was Joanne. And the next was me. Then my sister Margaret lives in Vallejo, California. And her sister, Katie, is dead. Well, then the brother Jim, he's dead. And the next is Frank, he's also dead. And Bill, William, he's got a farm in California, Red...
Santa Rosa,
yeah, in Santa Rosa.
You were raised on the farm, Bill?
No, I was raised in Centralia, Washington.
You were raised in Centralia?
Yeah.
I've been all over there.
Yeah. We came out to Centralia in 87 from Bismarck, Dakota.
Did you learn a trade after you...
Well, yes. Partially a boilermaker trade.
Boilermaker?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. And then, now go a little, skip a little longer. When you was in Washington, where did you get married?
I got married right here in Fairbanks.
Well, what was your wife's name before you married her?
Rebecca Evans.
Rebecca Evans?
Yes, sir.
And what year was that?
That was in 46.
1946?
Yes, sir.
Now, Ed, we're going to let Frank Young ask you the questions from now on. Well, just give a little brief of your life there, and let Frank start asking you about what he planned on talking to you about.
Okay.
Go right ahead, Frank. Ed,
getting back to the early days of the gold rushes that took place in Alaska and the Yukon, how did you come into the Yukon or Alaska in the first place?
Well, the first go-off, I hired out on a tramp steamer, and we came up to Juneau and unloaded some freight there, and we stayed there, I think, about 36 or 40 hours. And that was in 1898. And from there we went back to Seattle. And in 1999, my uncle had been in Dawson and came out. And when he went back, I had the fever and I went back with him. We got off at Skagway, and from Skagway over to over the White Pass to Whitehorse.
Well, Ed, did you go? Was the railroad in then?
No, not quite.
You
they finished it that year.
Yeah, you went up over what they call Chilkoot Pass.
No, I didn't go over the Chilkoot Pass. I went over the White Pass.
The White Pass. Okay. Then you come on down to Yukon.
Yeah, then we kind of connected up with a teamster there that was hauling oranges and all kinds of eggs and things into Dawson. And we walked most of the time, but once in a while going downhill, we'd ride. That was a trip of about 450 miles down to Dawson. Well, I worked around the mines in Dawson until 1902. Then I got a lease on Lower Hunker Creek, and we sank a shaft there. Me and my partner's name was O'Connor. We sank a shaft there 45 feet deep, and then got very good pay on the bottom. Well, that evening we put in points around the bottom of the hole and thawed it and went to bed. We were getting $20 pans out of the bottom of that hole. Then the next morning we come out there feeling pretty good, and the water was running out of the top of it.
What a
job. Yeah, we pumped there, we got pumps and we pumped till we went broke.
at that, and finally gave it up. Well, later on, I came to Fairbanks.
What year was that?
That was 1903. And after I got to Fairbanks, I got word from up there, the dredgers had came in and dredged that ground, and they took out $100,000 a day there.
That was back in where?
That was back in Dawson.
Back in Dawson.
Now, what creek was that?
That was Hunker Creek.
Hunker, yeah.
That was the lower end of Hunker Creek. We'd tapped what we figured was the Klondike water, and we couldn't phase it with our pumps.
Mm-hmm. Too bad, Eddie.
Yeah. Well, that was one time I missed a big stake. If I could have worked that ground, we'd have had a stake there, no doubt about it, because we sluiced up the little dump we took out right out of the bottom of the hole, and we had $1,900 in that.
Hmm. Well, now, then you come down here at Fairbanks in 1903.
Yeah.
That was $12 gold in that year.
Yes, it was.
$12 gold.
Well, that gold about around at the banks around about $15, $15 to $16.
Well, the standard was $16 then.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's when gold was low. That was we couldn't get that on there.
Oh, that was before the price raised in 1934 here. Yeah.
Well, Eddie, when you come down here to the Fairbanks area, did you start prospecting at that time?
Yes, after the first year, I was on Fairbanks Creek. I worked around Fairbanks Creek in 1904. And then from there, I went over to Clary Creek and worked some more. And in the fall of 1905, I went over into the Totalinika country prospecting. And was in there for over a year.
Well, now, Ed, wasn't you in the Channel R country?
I was in the Channel R country in the fall of 1903 when I made a trip up there. We were going into the diggings.
Well, where'd you leave from Fairbanks here?
Yeah.
In the fall of 1903.
Yeah.
And I'm going to ask you, do you know a fellow by the name of Charles Mack?
I did well.
And Mack was one of your party, was that it?
That's right. He wasn't exactly with me, but he was on the stampede. He was one of the stampeders.
Well, Eddie, to get down to this story of marriage on the Yukon, which I've been told you took quite a part in as officiating at the wedding.
Yeah.
Could you give us little details on that, just for a matter of pioneer records to keep for our posterity?
Well, we were camped on the lake there, and this man, I've forgotten his name now.
Wasn't Dalton, was it?
I guess that was it. It's in that article there. Him and his woman, they were going on the stampede too. But after we got there, we got bad news. There was parties came out of there and said there was nothing to the stampede. So apparently they wanted to get married, and they asked the mail carrier there if he would marry them. And he said no, that was out of his line of stuff. He wouldn't marry them. And they chewed the fat about it there for quite a while, and finally they approached me, and one of them, I don't know anything about marrying anybody. I never saw a wedding in my life. And they said, well, you can go through with it anyhow, and we'll help you along with it. And so we got together and said a few words, had a miners meeting, and decided that was legal.
Yeah, well, Ed, let me ask you now, of course, I think this fellow Mac wrote the poem, didn't he?
Yeah. They all helped on the poem.
Anyway, that's just to get for the matter.
You can read the poem,
but, there's been some changes made to it. Now, matrimony on the Yukon.
Let him read it on the tape.
You read it.
Now, you go ahead. My eyes are not too good.
Okay.
10 miles from the Yukon, on the banks of this lake, for a partner to the Koyukuk, McGillis I'll take.
We have no preacher and we have no ring. It makes no difference. It's all the same thing. Signed, Aggie Dalton. Now, I swear by my G-pole and under this tree a faithful husband to Aggie I'll always be. I'll love and protect her, this maiden so frail, from the sourdough stiffs on the Koyukuk Trail.
Well, that's the Chandelier Trail, should have been. That's a mistake.
Well, you just correct this. Now, this is signed Jack McGillis.
Well, I guess he was one of the parties there, I suppose. I don't remember all them names, you know.
No, that's many years ago.
There's quite a few there.
Yeah. Well, for $2 apiece and Chichaco money, I unite this couple in holy matrimony. He be a miner and she be a teacher. I do the job just as well as a preacher. Signed French Joe. Was there a character there?
Yeah.
It was. Well, that's good. Note, during the gold rush days in Alaska, marriage ceremonies awaited not upon the priest nor clergy. This poem has been requested to be reprinted as many old-timers have never seen a copy of it. Now, Eddie, that's pretty close to the facts of it, isn't
that
it?
That is all with that part of it. I don't remember that part of it.
Well,
there.
This part down here, that was just somebody put that in. You know how they add things to it and whatnot.
Yes, I know.
Describe your version of it on there behind this now. What happened? How you come to take part in it?
Well, he's told that already.
Following this on the tape.
Well, Eddie, that's just about pretty close to it. Most of those characters were in it, and as close as you can tell, you all had a kind of a hand in putting it, that little poem together.
That's right. They were all helped. They all put in some on the poem, and we had quite a time there.
And, after this marriage celebration was over, did you return then back to Circle, or how did you come back?
We had a small rowboat, and we got into the boat and came down the river, and finally we got a steamboat and came back to Fairbanks.
That was that same fall?
That same fall. It hadn't froze up yet. It was getting along towards the freeze-up time.
Yeah. Well, Ed, after that, you did an awful lot of prospecting and some mining in the Fairbanks area, didn't you?
Well, yes, I mined on Dome Creek, I mined on Pedro Creek, and several other creeks around here, small creeks around here.
And you was also down in Lower River,
Yeah, I was down in Ruby. I was down in Ruby and mined on one creek there 5 years straight, but it was in Ruby about 12 years altogether.
What creek was that you was on, Ed?
It was Me Ketchum Creek, it's called. Me Ketchum.
Me Ketchum.
Mm-hmm.
How far is that from Long Creek?
That's about 18 miles below Long Creek, towards Poor Man.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, Ed, you've taken in most of the stampedes here in Alaska, and especially around the interior. And did you ever do any prospecting? I know you did a lot of prospecting, but in other parts, like, for instance, up to Tanana here, or up to Salt Jacket, or in any of them places?
Yes, I drilled on the Salt Jacket, and I prospected in the Seward country, Valdez. I made a trip over to me and Angus McDougall. You probably remember him.
Oh, yes, I remember
him. Made a trip from here to Valdez in 12, the fall of 11 and 12, I guess it was.
We'll have to turn the tape over now on this, so we'll continue on the other side of the tape.
All right.
June the 12th, 1962, at Fairbanks, Alaska.
This is Sunday.
June the 15th, 16th.
Is it?
No. Yeah, because Wednesday was the 13th.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
And this is Paul Druzanovic and Harry Hughes. We're starting out on a Sunday morning for the
reminisce over the old prospecting and mining in Esther Valley.
Yeah, that's right. We go. They go to Esther, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we go. Okay.
Well, now, you told me about Strawberry Joe here.
Yeah.
Well, you tell me about this old man. I used to see him.
I see the very time, in the early days, he make strawberry, you know. Mm-hmm. That was the better with strawberry. But his son, well, he's...
he used to make wine out of his strawberries?
Wine, and they drink so much. Mm-hmm. He's too drunk all the time, you know.
Well, he was making potato liquor when I was down here.
Yeah?
That time.
Oh.
Yeah? Oh. Using potatoes.
Yeah, well,
letting them sour and making them nice out.
Yeah, they're making things like that. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're right out here at what used to be called Happy Siding. We're going to move
siding,
on now.
Happy Siding, yeah, that's right. And that's a little bit, Cripple Creek and number 5, Dread, you know what used to be, everything, yeah. Mm-hmm. I told you those places, yeah.
Well, we'll move on now to the next place. We're now at 11 Mile, at the junction of the New Nenana Road and Moody.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul here says this. They look like muddy water, like they're mining here.
Yeah, they're mining up here. I think that, you know what I mean?
I don't know what you mean.
Up here in the creek, you know. It's
what do they call that? Bullion?
Bullion Creek, yeah.
Bullion Creek, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. Some boys up there working.
Yeah, we're working.
Now we're going around to the Cripple Creek Resort.
Uh-huh.
And Don Pearson.
Yeah, we're going to see what they're
doing. See what they're doing out here. This is a tourist attraction at this point. Didn't exist in the early days.
Yeah, that's right, too.
Don Pearson wasn't at his resort. And we're out here to Jerry Hassel and his dad's mine.
Yeah, we can see what they're doing. And up here, it's all the way up. Way hushed up. Tweeton. Uh-huh.
The engine they're running here is a water pump. They're running a nozzle out here, washing down the overburden.
Uh-huh.
Now, Paul and I are standing down here where we've got a water pump running, and he's got two pretty good-sized cats here. There's about a D8. D8, and this one over here is bigger, isn't it? Both eights, huh?
Yeah.
And then he's got a little welding outfit and repairs equipment. So Paul, you tell me what he's doing here now.
Well, he's working now.
What is this? Permafrost he's working in?
Permafrost. Take ice down there and of course they have to store all ground, you know, before it can mining.
What year did they start doing it this way here?
Oh, they started 19... that was a long time ago. That was a long time ago before peace came in over here.
Well, that was around 1950?
They
started using water?
Yeah. 1914, 1915.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You described this nozzle that he's got set up here.
Well,
what do they call it? Is it all balanced out?
Well, we call it a hydraulic.
Yeah, but it's a balanced out nozzle. It's not an automatic nozzle.
No?
It's not an automatic.
No, it's not automatic. Uh-huh. Well,
Yes, that background noise is a water pump running here, pumping water for this nozzle.
Yeah, see, I had to...
Now, we're back to the car again here, and we've taken three or four exposures here of this hydraulic operation here at Tassel's property. And we took a couple of exposures of the location of the old cinnabar mine from the early days. And you say his name was Gus. What was his name?
Gus Krappus.
Gus Krappus?
Krappus, yeah.
And he used to bring the bottles of mercury into Jim Barrick when I first came in here.
Yeah, I guess.
Now we're going to move on down the road and visit some more places.
Yeah, okay.
The time now is... 3 minutes to 12 noon.
Yeah, that's 12 o'clock, yeah.
Okay, Paul. We just stopped at the Hassel's mine here, and we've been up and visit with Linda, and Paul and I are walking down here to visit with Mr. Hassel. These are real old-time miners here in Alaska.
Yeah,
it's a bright, sunshiny day, and he's got a little air compressor going here.
Uh-huh.
There's Mr. Hassel here talking to us.
Yeah.
And what are you going to do this summer? Now he thinks the things will bite him. Well, anyhow, the mosquitoes are not very thick today.
No. Not around here, but if you go out in the brush, there's plenty of them.
I see you've got a couple of men working.
Yeah.
You doing any good this summer, you think?
Well, not yet. I hope to be.
How are we going to keep this gold in Alaska if they don't give us a subsidy? We're going to start burying it back as we take it out?
Well, we'll stay here.
We'll just bury it back and then go dig it up as we need it.
We'll put it in a pocket and don't sell it to nobody. That's all, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how you go out there.
We're down here at Mr. Hassel's garage. He's got a cat all tore down here. A pump, big pump, hydraulic pump.
Yes, sir. Ask a Twitter, is don't work this year, up here.
What?
Ask a Twitter, he don't work here.
No, they're not working this year.
Huh? Yeah, that's just weird. Don't anybody work now. Yeah. We go by the
So we're going to the next, we're going to visit some more today. Yeah. When he gets tired, I'll take him home.
Yeah.
I've seen your hydraulic, man. We took some pictures down there.
Do you go down below?
No, we didn't go down below yet. We're going back and go up by the road to his place, maybe, so you don't get too tired, and then we'll go back towards town if one of you gets ready. Whenever you feel like you want to go, you tell
me. Oh, yeah, I go out of town.
You doing anything now, Lee?
No, no, no. No, I've been sick. I've been at the doctor's here yet. I've been pretty bad. I never could do that. So see, I was sick, come home, you know. Every day I come here, and Lloyd was sitting there, and Lloyd here, and I would give him supper at 9 o'clock, and I went to sleep. And I didn't feel. And finally, the called doctor, and so the doctor took me to hospital. Oh, yeah. And I didn't know what was happening. Never know if he was sick or nothing like that, but now his leg is cool now. And I, 4 months, I didn't talk, you know. And now I talk back again, and I read the eyes and everything, you know. But I had bad for it.
You lost your voice, sir?
Huh?
You lost your voice?
Lost voice,
you couldn't talk at all?
No. I can talk. 4 months, I didn't talk at all. No.
Yeah, that come from flat, Miskovich ground, and Axel Brother, the old jeweler, put the diamond on it for me. You remember when you did this? You remember I used to tinker with nuggets once in a while down at the hotel? You remember, make some ivory stuff and nuggets jewelry?
Mm-hmm.
I graduated. I don't do that no more.
No.
I don't do anything if I can get out of it. Yeah, but I found out no matter how much you get, they're going to try to take it away, so you don't want to get any very much.
If you got too much, you have too much to worry about.
Mm-hmm. I see you've got an old sandstone grindstone out here from the early days.
Sure.
You want to be thinking about this Pioneer Park, things like that. We want to eventually you start getting them into the park.
Yeah.
That's another motive of running around. I take pictures of this old stuff, and we'll have a collection of pictures to go with the planning.
Well, how's she coming to that park?
We're almost ready for Governor Eden to sign the final papers.
Oh,
all of ours is made up, and we've incorporated and everything.
You're going to get the ground?
Yes, that's all nailed down.
Yeah, that's fine.
No, the pioneers will have something for permanent. In fact, everybody that's here will benefit. But we want to collect all these old souvenirs that we can as possible before they're all gone.
Yeah, sure.
See, I've went around and took pictures of that old keystone grill of Mike Ursik's. And Colin McDonald's got a bunch of old cars and equipment over there, and an old Model T Caterpillar and Fortson, and a lot of old equipment like that. And there's dredges here, and maybe we can set up a little mining outfit down in there in a mining camp.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many things that can be done.
Yeah.
Well, Mr. Egan's supposed to be here within the next 10 days or so, and they promised that they'll have him give us his goodwill on this Pioneer Park project.
He's a pioneer too, isn't he?
Oh, yes. He's the one that was telling us what to do on this.
Yeah, I know. Right.
We weren't getting any action. We got a hold of him in 1960 down at Seward.
Yeah.
And he stood us all up and told us what to do, and we didn't stop.
Right, we'll find it, yeah.
The boy's out here working with you, isn't he?
No.
No more?
No. Not the last couple of years.
Oh,
I thought he'd been building himself a house in town. Even his wife, both working in town.
Oh, I see.
More
mm-hmm. Well, now we'll get ready to move on to another location.
I just caught you down a quarter ring the bell.
The best thing that ever happened.
We're out here at Don Pearson's clip joint.
That's it. The Melamed Saloon.
Okay, then we want a gold panic pretty soon. You can't make money that way, you know, and selling whiskey, you know.
Oh, no, you got to pay him gold.
You got to have pay gold, you know.
We got it, too.
And how much you got to know?
Huh?
How much gold you got now?
It's pretty good. We got a lot of pay over there.
Yeah, okay.
Pretty now, good pay.
Yeah, we go panic there.
Huh? On the one below Discovery Mine.
Oh, 350 feet to bedrock.
Our drift, we got a three-quarter mile drift north.
I know.
And a half mile drift west.
Yeah, you see that bucket that I built?
Yeah.
I topped it out there.
Somebody busted my winch here the other day. I mean, it's got to be hammered together a little bit over there.
Oh, yeah.
But
it's played, you know.
Yeah. But I think the best thing that ever happened to you, Paul, is to get back out here on the creek.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Paul, tell him on the tape what Don Pearson looks like, how he's dressed up.
He looks like a really, I can't tell you, but black whiskers, you know, and pears, and I was really, I afraid when I met him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it's Toby Smith coming over to Alaska.
You think Toby Smith come back to
life?
Oh,
yeah, I thought he come back to life, you know, and I guess, but he's a good man. He give you anything you want to, you know, if you're right. But if you know good, you stay away from me.
John, you tell me what you think of Paul.
Well, Paul's about the best old miner on the creek. Yeah. And when last season, when he was working our mine over here, he had a set of white whiskers that come clear down at his navel. He had a set of whiskers on him. And he worked about the same as three guys putting one.
Well,
you know,
I don't like to sit, you know, buddy.
He doesn't like to sit down, but he should sit down. Who is your dog, Brandy?
He's left him home.
You left him home?
Lonely. I was trying to go with us, but...
That's an interesting story. His dog's named Brandy.
Yeah.
I said, how come? He said, well, I always drink Brandy, so every dog I had was named Brandy.
And I had a gun. Put the gun in here, shoot out, to try to, and he's following me.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A banjo? Yes, that's funny. You want to get
hey,
that?
Paul, what are these music boxes? Tell me about these two music boxes.
I tell you. Here's the music box.
Yeah, I sure do.
Method 60 years ago.
Who?
In prison.
In a prison. This was made in a prison.
In prison, you know. And finding a violin and everything planned together, you know. And very interesting for tourists, you know, to see them, you know.
This old time box is a combination violin and music box.
But yeah. Everything put together.
Do you know what prison that was made in?
No, I don't know. I got nothing to say, very nice music, you know, you can live with it. Yeah, that's how I'm built, and I guess, I forget in one prison, but it's in a prison anyway.
It was made in a prison.
Yeah. And the other one is in the other place, and that's from Dawson.
This other music box with the drums and the low piano player is from Dawson City.
Dawson Creek, yeah.
Dawson City.
Dawson City, yeah, that's right. And that bar was from the early days and from Dawson to Dawson and Dawson Anna in over here.
Down in Indiana and then over here.
Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that bar, yeah. And that's my decoration.
Oh, you did the decoration?
Oh, yeah. I went in Tetanega, pick them bottles and everything, you know, and I got lots of more.
This is called a Charles F. Andy. Old Texan, you know, built in Wisconsin.
Huh?
It's built in Wisconsin, Milwaukee. It's called an Enterprise. Cabinet Grand. Then he's got some old time sheet music here. Here's an old fire axe.
Me and Pearson was pick lots of them bottles all over the creek.
Where we were the other day, Paul.
I drove up there, Cleary Summit. Cleary Summit Roadhouse, where we got the bottles. Went down and got some more bottles. You know, where you showed me. Nobody could see where that old bottle dump is, but Paul knows where. We walked out through the bushes off the road, and all of a sudden he says,
I would have had to get off, you know, to find it, but we didn't find it.
And I went up to Chattanooga again. They got the bridge in. I went in there again and got a lot more things. Paul and I went to Chattanooga. We got that big old iron ore bucket, remember? And we got old whiskey still.
We got steel, copper.
We got a lot of good stuff up there, Paul and I did.
Now, this part of the recording is taken out here at Triple Creek at the Malamute Saloon, run by Don Pearson for the industry of tourists and the people coming into Alaska. Now, I'll stop this and play it back and let you hear it, Don.
All right.
Now we've got come up Henderson Road from the Esther Road, the old Esther Road, and we're up at Paul Dozanovich's mining claims here. He's shown me some hard rock holes, and we're about, I don't know, it's about 16 or 18 miles from town here.
Well, but
about 16 miles. About
12 miles, but we gotta go. About 14 miles to here.
And you've got no house left here now, not at all.
No, I move it.
Everything's moved out right now. Well, we'll move on around the hill a ways now. The time is now 1:45 and we're moving on. Bill and Paul is a quartz claim, the first one looked at, and this one we're looking at down here is Montgomery claim. And it goes down, and I see the stake, and he says it's 660 feet down and then 1,320 feet across, and down towards the creek. Now, what's the name of that creek?
Esther Creek.
It go right down to the creek?
No.
It goes right down to the creek, Paul. Okay, we took one picture, Paul, here at this point. Now, we stopped here at another
old man, Grand. And
tell us about it then.
And he been worked till but till 5 years before war. And finally he died, and then nobody worked, but it was 7-8 men for him all the time working there.
This was a paying mine in those years.
And finally he give up now. He's in a Birdfield, but his niece take care. She's in Vancouver, B.C. And nobody do work now anymore.
Well, we took a couple of pictures here of this old-fashioned mine for the history and the record.
Okay.
And the time is now 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It's now 2 216, and Paul and I have stopped to visit with another gentleman. He'll give you the name of this man.
Carl, and he went to represent his gran up there, what, in the other place there, and he'll be back 5 o'clock, you know. But we visiting his mess house and so on, and that's what.
Well, I notice he has some nice little gardens here in two places, and these cabins are well kept. These cabins would be livable for several years from the looks of them. They've got good roofs on them, metal roofs, and they have rain barrels here that catch a lot of rainwater. And this is the way we used to live up here. Everybody didn't have everything they like they do in a big city, running water and TVs and radios and automobiles. These people get an axe and cut a little wood when they want a fire, but the new people, they think everything has to come out of their pocket.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, and we'll stop on this. Paul just took me in the woods up here on one of his claims and showed me a little cabin, shelter, an emergency cabin with some chairs and a stove and some things in it. And you could hardly find the trail. The brush grown up so fast in Alaska. Now we went down the road a little ways towards Sheep Creek, and we stopped here, and here's an old sod, sort of an underground Eskimo-type house.
Paul,
you tell me about it now.
That's Mr. Gezi. Used to be in Larry, leave early days and prospecting, and he was here for quite a few years. And he's that was his, all right.
Gezi's brother.
Gezi's brother, yeah.
Yeah.
Gezi's
that's
brother.
When they were mining and prospecting.
Yeah. He's a brother.
About what year do you think this was here?
Huh?
About what year do you think it was?
I can't.
1910?
Yeah, must be.
Before 1910?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
It was before that time, maybe. After all these years, this is finally falling down.
Yeah, and snow cleared down. But it was a
snow
couple years ago, now I see it coming down already.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
All right, now we're going to start and move on to the next place, and the time is now is 2:54.
Mm-hmm.
P.M. in the afternoon. We'll proceed on our trip.
Abby.
Now, I got Paul with me. We've been out riding around. And now we're down to Irving McKay Reed's house.
Come on.
We've been all over his mining claims.
Yeah.
And we've been taking pictures.
Let me get the keys out.
And you're going to tell me what about this trip that Paul and I took now. You're going to tell us.
Well, I was a little bit invested on Happy Creek. You know, Don Adler had a very successful for a little while load claim up on the left limit of Happy Creek. It lost it because it faulted out, and he never could find the vein again, but it's there yet. Somebody will look for it in the right way and get the geology down. But George Moore had some claims on the upper end.
Why more?
He used to do a little mining up there from the upper end of Hampton, and he ran across this very piece of very good boat up there. Two or three pieces. We thought maybe that that load extended up along where his claims were. So I put up a couple of guys and put up the grub and got a couple of guys to help him pay their wages. And he ran adrift in there. He drifted in about 50 feet, but he never found any. He found a little float, but he never found any more evidence of a load. He never ran on anything. So he gave that up.
Paul showed us where we're looking for that cinnabar over in there.
Yeah.
Paul, you tell him about that now, that cinnabar thing, where we took the picture.
Well,
it's beyond Hafner.
Yeah. Yeah,
half
of
the
north of the north, and finally he went to Healy and he was in a coleman, I think, and everything claimed the same one, and he got claimed, he went to Healy, but then got ground, and finally he told me about it, but I don't know what there was there.
Cinnabon.
Yeah, there was Cinnabon.
Cinnabon.
And I checked him over there, but you could see chance, you know, a little chance. You know. I told you what it was, but I can't walk, you know, now.
No,
before I can walk.
It was about 2 miles from it, I guess.
Yeah. Before I can walk along, but I
know. Well, you got to look at it sometime. Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah,
there's
some probably open.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's muddy.
It's open, all right, open, yeah. And I can go, well, we can go from creek and go creek valley.
Well, it's not a bad walk.
There's a road part way, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But we didn't go up it.
Oh,
because
well,
it's rain the other day, wrecked
no,
the road.
Was that the road up to Owl Haven?
Well, no. That's down. You go down through the flat from Esther. You know where they go down by Hassel?
Yeah.
Where you turn to Hassel? Well, you go down below where he's working.
And
you go right on to
it. They use but from you Nick Bottles, you know, Nick Bottles mine.
Yeah.
Yeah. You go another that side and the other side street, you know. And way up, you can see friends and other people. Yeah. A few people want to go. I
took
up
I took
oh,
pictures.
Well,
I took pictures of it so we know where to go.
Yeah.
You go up there, we'll all go in.
I know everyone, but of course I can't tell them.
Get Frank Young, and we'll all go in there and make another
prospect, yeah.
Is that too much?
No.
Didn't give you only a little bit. I
have a little bit, too.
Mr. Mr. Reed's serving us some ice cream here on Sunday afternoon on this visit.
Well, as much as...
Oh, yeah.
I'm not throwing the law. No, I got up here with a coffee room. Perfectly. I got it. But I got 14 square, but I dropped to 7 in the coffee room. You know, coffee room?
Yeah,
there.
I know.
You've been up here. Now you could go to the... Yeah, I said, you know, good things, but half a mile, you can see legs all over me. But silver, gold, and lead.
Silver, gold, and lead.
Yeah.
And I say, Bill Hill, he had 2 years lease, you know. Bill, you know, he drowned.
Yeah.
And Bob Lyme.
Yeah.
And I think he's on Andrews now. He used to be here.
Yeah, he's a known boy.
Yeah. And poor engineer of Calairfield that was together, you know. I was to get back at them and even and we went the 6 feet down and my dad we got 2.5, 3 feet leg all over went through and Bill died. He never do it anymore, you know. And finally we got testing, you know, we bullied him all around. The crap mine. And then but a month later I got almost 40 points forward. But you gotta take everything down to you got to
I know.
Then you say you got a meal you have meal there and contractor say you have to take the coma to the coma. Yeah, that's why you got expensive. But if they go to make mine, Bill was real good engineer, you know. His father was engineer too, you know. And he clearly, I can't go out there. You go out and present that gentleman.
Well, that may be an extension of the IU zone, you know.
Yeah, he sees it.
Or
the other
IU,
yeah.
That whole country there is heavily mineralized.
Yeah. Was that the IU mine you're talking about?
Yeah.
Well, Earl Feldman worked in that one time.
No.
No?
No, he never worked there.
Who was that?
Joe Cross. Yeah, Earl Feldman worked on the, across the hill on the head of Cherry Creek. I was in with him on that. I worked there too. He and I had that mine. He had a part of it.
Somebody else was talking about that how you mine. We used to hang on the nose. Who was that?
I don't know. That whole zone. You remember Thompson that was killed out in, what was his first name? He was killed out in some of the gangsters killed him out in San Diego.
Then he disappeared.
He and his wife.
Yeah, I hear they went to Texas and somebody get gas for the field someplace,
yeah.
I know. In Mexico or something, I know.
Oh, that was down in Mexico.
Yeah.
Yeah, that Thompson got killed and his wife got killed in Mexico. There were two couples of them.
I thought they were killed in Mexico.
No, it was over in Tijuana. That's 100 miles out of San Diego.
So, anyway, he was going to get that whole property from the Nordio property, which they're mining now,
yeah.
They're over, over the with that property that's right on top of the hill there, with the Hickman mine, I've forgotten the name.
McCarthy
property. And the Hayu and all that. He was going to unite the whole thing and mine it as a unit. If he put a big tunnel in and mine the whole thing and scope it down. And that would have been the biggest thing that we've ever had in North America if he could have floated it. But he got killed before he was put across. He could put it over.
Well, that was
one of the reasons he went outside was to scope that idea.
That was Silver Leadenbaum?
Yeah. Silver Leadenbaum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they got
that. Oh,
that's that's still
that's wide open. That's wide open. Yeah. Somebody with a little imagination.
Well, now the state land office is trying to grab all this land before anybody can work it.
Well, how about the Air Force grabbing some Gilmore on board? Hear about that?
What could the person do to prevent them from coming in and withdrawing that land from mining and convert it to farming when it's so valuable for mining?
Well, I don't know. They're doing some funny things.
That fellow sent me, I left there, I was in the kitchen. He wanted me to throw it in the saloon. I went to there to check it. And I saw it, he checked his card, you know, and he said, "You go easy." And I told him what it was clear, you know, and he stopped. We're going to get a cat tiger up there, Jimmy Duco. He got there. And finally, he stopped it off, and he couldn't let it down, you know. The time to go around, and finally, we have to come, and we come back to time to go dig it, to see that the legend going around, break the rocks and everything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, but we had a good ground there. You know, Doctor,